And let's read Psalm 65 this morning. It's only 13 verses, and I think some of you may need to catch up on your Bible reading anyway. So let's read this together. Psalm 65, verse 1. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Y'all help me now. Verse 3. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy court. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them which are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the sea, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost part are afraid at thy token. Thou makest the outgoing of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Look back at verse 11, the first part of it. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. My, my, what a great verse. As an old year goes out and a new year comes in. Not only are we seeing an old year go out and a new year come in, we are seeing an old decade go out, a new decade go in. Come in. Anybody under 15 won't understand what I'm getting ready to say in the next 10 minutes. The reason you won't understand it, because teenagers, 13 and 14 and 15, and a lot of them 16 and 17, they get the crazy idea that the world's always been like it is now in the 80s. Brother, if the world had always been like it has been the last 10 years, it wouldn't be here. Wouldn't be nobody living. Now, as you listen carefully for a few minutes, I want to talk to you about some things that happened in the last year and 10 years, and what we've got to look forward to in the 90s. We are standing on the threshold. We are in the open door. We're treading on a borderland we've never trod before. We've passed the darkness of the night. Another year is opening, another year is gone. We're in the early morning. We've left the fields behind on which we scattered seed. We pass into the future, which none of us can read. The corn among the weeds, the stones, the surface mold may yield a partial harvest. We hope for a hundredfold. Then hasten to fresh labor, to thresh and reap and sow. Then bid the new year welcome, and let the old year go. Then gather all your vigor, press forward in the light, and let this be our motto: stand for God and stand. for the right. Every decade, there's a lot of things that happen that decade will be remembered for down in history. I'm going to go over some things briefly this morning that 1980s will be remembered for. As I said this morning in Sunday school, they said on the news the other night, you have to get this one up just a little bit, Brother Roy. They said on the news the other night that the two figures who stuck out the most in 1980s, according to the news. Now, this ought to tell you something about the last 10 years. Two figures that stuck out the most in the 1980s were Madonna and Michael Jackson. Now, without taking a long time to prove what I'm going to say, because I ain't got time, I'll just stay there. That proves what a sick, perverted, wicked society we've become in the 1980s. We've become sick when a dancing pervert named Michael Jackson and a slut called Madonna are the two most outstanding figures of a decade. We are in trouble. You say, well, I'm done tell, I ain't going to like you preaching. Well, sit still, you're going to like it a whole lot less before I get through. If those people had come on TV and done what they do now 30 years ago, they would have been locked up. I'm telling you, we are living in a generation that's been called sick. You know how you can characterize the 80s? You characterize the 80s by saying they're the decade that turned against Christianity. You don't believe it? I'm going to read y'all some things. Billy Graham had a motion picture made called The Prodigal. It had a Christian message in it to help young people of America. The MPAA, who rates movies, gave The Prodigal, a Billy Graham movie, a PG rating. The reason they gave it a PG rating, which is parental guidance, or pig guts, they said, the reason they gave it is because this. They said that no pre-teenage children should be exposed to Christianity without their parents' consent. In Seminole County, Florida, an 8-year-old girl was stopped from giving her friends small greeting cards for the holidays because it had stickers about Jesus on them. They stopped her in school. In Montana, a news writer for the press in a newspaper was a Christian and wrote an article for a Christian magazine, and the newspaper fired him because they said his Christian views would influence his writing. The ACLU, which is an organization the devil has raised up to fight anything that's right, sued a fire station in Connecticut for hanging a crucifix on their building as a part of a Christmas decorations, and no public funds were used for the crucifix. It was paid for by private members of the fire department. They were sued for putting a cross on the building at Christmas time. A couple in California were denied the right to adopt a little girl because they were Christians and they were considered too religious by the courts. A federal court ruled in New Mexico that the seal of the county was illegal because it had a sheep on it and a cross suspended in the sky. The ACLU stopped Cold Spring, Minnesota school district teachers from opening their meetings with prayer. The ACLU sued in Kentucky to take the Ten Commandments down from the schoolrooms of the halls of our school. You know what you do when you take down the Ten Commandments? You bring in the security guards. Led by the ACLU, suits to stop prayers before ball games have increased all over the country now to stop them from praying before ball games. In 1986, there were 2,000 suits
against houses of worship, clergy, religious leaders, and with attorneys. You know, I was thinking about something the other day. Somebody said the other day that there were something, I'm guessing somewhere around 30,000 lawyers, attorneys, graduating every year. Where's all these guys going? And you got to make a living somehow. And the way to make a living nowadays is sue anybody that looks at you cross-eyed. Y'all going to have to help me now. You're going to have to help. Listen carefully. Now listen. You think about, I thought about that fellow the other day that ruled one of them countries, Romania, one of them. Now, I'm not saying they did right by doing that when they took that fellow out over there the other day and assassinated him and his wife, but they said he was responsible for 60,000 deaths. And it was a wicked man. No, they didn't have no lawyer fees. They didn't have no court calls. They stood the guy up against the wall and said, "Got anything to say?" Bam! It's over. I thought, boy, they for sure put the lawyers out of business. We did that here. I mean, no, we didn't have to support him like we've done Charles Manson for 20 years. Nobody, you say, boy, I tell you, you are the meanest preacher I've ever heard. I'm not mean at all, brother. I'm for us poor minority groups like us who are being poked on and laughed at and are having to support 75% of the world who wants to take God's name in vain and say no God and no Bible. Brother, we've had a scary decade in the 1980s. In Louisiana, a high school valedictorian, she was the top of her class, who was a Christian. They always let the valedictorian of the class address the entire class. She was refused because her speech contained religion content. In Massachusetts, high school would not let them sing "O Come All Ye Faithful" and "Silent Night" at Christmas time. They replaced them with "Let It Snow" and "Sleigh Ride." A child carrier in Congress is going, if they pass it, will prohibit any church-related facilities to be used for daycare unless any and all religious symbols are removed from the walls where the kids can't see them. Religious invocations or high school were banned all over the country. A teacher in Illinois was fired because he quoted the Bible. The teacher was told that he would be rehired to finish the year, but he must not refer to God or paraphrase the Bible in class. What I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, before I give you some more of these, is we have a lot of people that love God in America. We have a lot of Christian people in America. And I still believe, by far, the majority would say it was right for the Bible to be included. But we have an elite, educated, high-up congressmen, senators, educators who are full of the devil and have made up their mind to take God and the Bible and church out of our lives completely so our kids can't see it or hear it at all. Now listen, they've done a survey, showed in university that college universities have a bias against Christianity. A Christian singer, Kenny Marks, made a video called "The Party's Over." High quality, except one thing. It showed the other side of teenage pregnancies. And MTV wouldn't air it. You hear what I said, kids? Did you hear me, kids? I said a Christian singer made a good video, and it showed that little girls crying and giving babies to birth to babies that they didn't want and didn't plan for and can't take care of and are addicted to drugs and everything else, and MTV wouldn't put it on. You know why they wouldn't put it on? You know what their reason was? They said, "We're not in the business of promoting social issues." Oh, really? Not in the business of putting social issues. And the next moment, on comes rock and roll say, "I'm gonna rock and roll all night and party every day."
It's all right to tell through that, ain't it? It's all right to let Prince get on there and wiggle his low-down little frame on that, and promote social issues like premarital sex and shacking up when you ain't married and living for them. But it's not all right to show them what happens if they get pregnant out of wedlock. Some of y'all look scared. You're saying, what have I got into this morning? You ain't got into nothing that'll hurt you, that's for sure. You're sitting there like saying, what's he going to say next? Well, I don't know, or I'd tell you. We'll see what happens here. Boy, these atheists nowadays, they get on your nerves, boy. They're so smart. They got it all figured out. There's no God. If there would have been a God, he wouldn't allow this. If there would have been a God, they wouldn't allow that. If there was a God, he wouldn't allow children to starve to death. If there was a God, he wouldn't let them have war over another country. There was a God this, and there was a God that. Heard about one of them. He's talking to this guy, and this guy was trying to talk to him about God. He said, oh, ain't no God. They're sitting out in the countryside. He said, yes, there is, too. He said, all right, just look around you. Look at all the mistakes he made. He said, look here at these little bitty acorns hanging on this big old giant oak tree. And right over there is a pumpkin that big around hanging on a little old vine dragging around. He said, if I'd have been, I'd have put them pumpkins on this big tree and them little bitty acorns on them little vines that could have held them up. About that time, an acorn fell out in human head. That fellow said, ain't you glad God didn't put pumpkins in that tree? Well, you got all these smart alecks nowadays that got it all figured out. All these people nowadays that know everything. They're smarter than God and everybody. Oh, they know it all. Oh, I tell you what, brother, we could learn a lesson for our last generation. You say, well, I don't like that preaching. Yeah, you know, you're like that little old boy. He went to church and the preacher preached about Jonah and on and on and on and on and on and on and on. He went home to his mom and said, what do you think about that sermon? He said, I feel just like the whale. He said, that preacher's giving me stomachache. That'll be some way some of y'all feel before you get out of here this morning. But I'm telling you, brother, we are living in a time of prejudice. The worst group in the world being discriminated against is Bible-believing Christians. In Denver, a federal judge ordered the teacher to remove two books from the classroom. You know what the name of them was? The Bible in Pictures and the Story of Jesus. ABC wanting to have Cal Thomas, who's a Christian news reporter, on Good Morning America, and ABC wouldn't let him on there because he quotes the Bible. A Presbyterian lady in Los Angeles was fined $954 for refusing to rent her apartment to a couple that was shacking up and was not married. Now, I want to say something here this morning. I'm not a troublemaker. I like to get along with people. I don't like to fight. But God help us that we have come to the place in America where the people can tell us who we can sell our stuff to or rent our stuff to. If you own a house or an apartment, you ought to be able to rent it to anybody you want or refuse anybody you want. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life. That's abomination to God. That's an insult to common sense. If it's yours, do what you want to with it. I'm American, brother. I believe you got freedom. If you don't want to rent your apartment, don't. And this woman says, y'all married? And they said, no, we're just shacking up. And she said, you're living in sin. And God hates that sin. And you ain't getting in my house. What's wrong with that? You know what they said? The court said that their rights to rent overruled her right to refuse. Movies introduced this year, or last year, The Last Temptation of Christ. A movie which makes Jesus Christ a lunatic, call himself a sinner, a liar, an adulterer, and a bigamist, and says he died for his sins only. They said Christians will not stop us from distributing film. Out of 14,000 theaters in America, only 140 showed it. And yet, Time, who owns Cinemax, showed it on the Cinemax cable network. And it only got aired on 140 theaters. You tell me that the devil ain't in control of them cable companies? A new book by Harper and Row presents a feminist view of the life of Christ. The book has Joseph kill himself as a sacrifice for his people, Jesus marrying Mary Magdalene and having a daughter, and then Mary Magdalene then marries Judas, who is identified as the twin of Jesus. That's what the Mormon church believed, that Jesus and the devil were brothers to begin with. That same doctrine comes, they're trying to make Judas and Jesus twins. You get something like Jesus Christ Superstar, rock opera, and something like that, where Jesus Christ is left on the cross and Judas becomes the hero. You're not dealing with gospel and church and Christianity. You're dealing with demons and that kind of stuff. A new movie called Jesus the Man has a scene which shows Lord Jesus Christ in such despicable situations. I ain't even going to say the word they use here in this article. They got one called The Return of Jesus that's going to open up in Sweden, and it's going to show Jesus returning in many forms, they say. Ted Turner, which is head of Turner Broadcasting System, said Christianity was for losers. He said Christians protesting abortion look like idiots. He said, I don't want anybody to die for me. He said, I've had a few drinks and a few girlfriends, and if that's going to put me in hell, so be it. It's a day we're living in. While punk heavy metal has gone crazy in this country, earthquakes have happened on an unprecedented scale. AIDS has changed the world in the 1980s. Nobody ever heard of AIDS in the 70s. It started in 1980. And yet we're like kids. When God tries to help us and set us down and preach to us, we say, uh-uh. Why don't you go to the altar and get right with God? Uh-uh. We're like little kids who don't want to go to the doctor. My middle daughter, Carissa, y'all, about everybody here knows her. She's around here somewhere. Hope. She's 5 years old. The other day she woke up and her jaw was swelled out right here, and I thought, well, she had the mumps. I said, oh, no, I better get her to the doctor. I took her to the doctor. I think it was Wednesday evening. And Wednesday or Thursday one, I can't remember. One day, anyway, she swelled up right here. I took her, and it was hurting her. She woke up a-crying with it, and she didn't want to go to the doctor. She said, what will he do? I said, now, honey, he's not. So they said, you go right back there in that room. We went back there and sat in that little room. She kept saying, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? And I said, he's going to cut your ear off. And she didn't know where to grin. She was waiting to see if I was going to grin. She kind of grinned, then she's serious. She kind of grinned, she looks serious. She said, uh-uh. I said, he will too. She said, no. And I finally got to feeling guilty about that. And I said, no, honey, he's not going to. He'll just give you some medicine and everything. And when I started saying that he's going to cut this and he's going to do that, and you know what she said? She said, it's not hurting now. I thought about church members. I thought about, brother, we're sick. We're sick. We need help. There's people sitting right here this morning. You need help. Your life's in sin. You're living for the devil. You're on alcohol. You're on drugs. You're living in immorality. You need help, man. You need help. But you know why you don't want to hear what I've got to say? You're saying, he's going to hurt me. He's going to hurt me. He's going to give me a shot. And that's exactly what I'm doing this morning. I'm giving you some medicine. But if you won't take it, it won't help you. Well, thank God this morning, the Lord is still on the throne. I can tell you some things this morning about all the bad things. I thought about this morning in Sunday school, about the wall coming down, the Berlin Wall, about Romania overthrowing their governor, about, somebody asked me the other day, they called me and they said, what do you think about all this stuff? I said, we're getting ready to leave. The Antichrist is coming. They're overthrowing their leaders in all these countries so the Antichrist can come and take over, brother. It's plain as day. The scene's unfolding. They're saying, peace, peace, brothers, all over the world. That's what they'll be saying when the Antichrist comes. Peace, peace, and safety. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. We can see this thing unfolding before our very eyes. Here we are standing at the top of 1990. We are getting ready to move in to the last 10 years of the last century, of the last millennium of history of the world, brother. God gives us a world, 6,000 years of history. We are at 5,990. We're in the last 10 years of the last century. Beginning tomorrow. That excites my soul. It scares me, but it makes me say, glory to God, the Lord has allowed me and you to see this dawning of a new day. They got a new drug out now called ice. Concentrated form of crack. Many times more potent and powerful. Knock you out of your head for days. Say, we going to drug war? No, we're not. In the tribulation, people be living off drugs. You know how they're going to stop drugs, they think? They're going to think they're going to legalize it. And give all the cocaine addicts in New York a supply of cocaine every day. You know, just like wildfire coming in. Boy, that's a smart thing to do, ain't it? If that ain't smart, I never heard of nothing smart. I'll tell you, man, I don't see how some people get by holding their job in public office. It is a crazy world. Here in the house of God, out in the world. Have you ever noticed how crazy things have gotten the last 10 years? Why, we're a lunatic. We're on the lunatic fringe, man. I said in school, Lester Roloff said America was an insane asylum run by the inmates. I got stopped by a cop down in Lenore not long ago, and I was coming past him, and he stopped me. And I wasn't really going that far, just about a few miles over the speed limit. And he said, come back here and sit in the car, Mr. Castle. And I went back there and sat down and started talking to him. And I started trying to witness to him. Come to find out, he's a Christian. And boy, we had a good talk there. And he said, I'm just out here trying to do my job for, you know, and everything. I said, no, really, that's what you ought to do. I said, I think I ought to double your salary. I think any cop ought to get double what he's getting paid and give him a gun and let him put a bullet in it. Only like Barney Fife. I mean, let the guy protect us. I think they earn every dime they get, brother, and ought to have more. You never know what kind of idiot you're going to run up on. You agree with that? Yes, I think they're pigs. We ought to put you in a pig pen then. Our generation don't like respect for authority. You like Michael Jackson, don't you? And throw rocks at the police. That shows what a pervert you are. You call that singing? You call that singing? My daddy's coon dog beat that. Like that's where there's that one time, and the preacher got up, and the song leader wasn't there or something. He said, we'll sing number 34. And the piano player said, I'm sorry, I don't know 34. He said, oh, okay, let's sing 47. Piano player said, sorry, don't know 47. He said, okay, number 53. I don't know that neither, preacher. About that time, somebody in the back hollered out, the piano player's an idiot. And the preacher got real mad, and he stopped and he said, folks, that was rude. He said, I want to know right now who called the piano player an idiot. Nobody never did say nothing for a minute. This guy finally stood up in the back. He said, preacher, I'm not the man that called the piano player an idiot. Nor am I sitting beside the man who called the piano player an idiot. What I want to know is, who called that idiot a piano player? That's the way some of these singers, who call them singers, brother? I want to tell you something good that God's doing. You know what bothers me? I've told you a lot of bad things that's going on in the world. I've told you a lot of bad news and things that's gone on in the last 10 years. But oh, I've got some good news for 1990 and the next decade, and that is God is still on the throne. He's just as powerful, just as wonderful, just as gracious, just as real as He ever has been. God Almighty's still up there. Boy, I tell you, I've heard people say, well, I wish it's like it used to be. We just don't get blessed like we used to. Lord, I remember in the good old days when this and that happened. I'll tell you what, brother, it's few and far between, but God's still a-moving. Some people's got the victory. They still some people getting really... Well, let me just give you some illustrations this morning. I thought about old Mike over there. Just Friday night. You know, a lot of just don't happen like it used to when people would come down and eat a God and surrender. Just Friday night over there, he got down and prayed, and we all got down in the floor, and old Mike sent up over there, Mike, so they'll know who you are. And old Mike told the Lord he'd preach Friday night. That just from Friday night. Amen? Say amen right there. God's still on the throne, brother. He is still blessing. He is still moving. That didn't happen in 1970. That didn't happen in 1960. That happened two nights ago. Three nights ago, something like that. 48 hours, brother. God is still moving. I thought about old Jerry over there. Jerry that got saved just a few weeks ago. Famous person, Jerry Lewis, just got saved a few weeks ago. Stand up over there, Jerry. I've been embarrassing him a lot lately. Turn around here so they can see the back of your neck. Ain't that so? Old Jerry had a pigtail that come way down to here, and God done got a hold of him. People say, well, people don't get saved and changed like they used to. They sure do, too. He did, and that just happened in the last few weeks, and he had a drug problem, didn't you? Or an alcohol problem, and God got a hold of him, and he's got a smile on your face. I'm saying to you, God's still on the throne. He's still saving. He's still changing. And the church is still going fine, too. Boy, we've never had more problems than we've got today. We've never had more problems than burdens than we've got today. But every time somebody sees me uptown, they say, how's the church doing? I say, great, man. It's doing great. God's still saving. People still coming. People still shouting. People still praying. God's still alive in 1990. I know it's never been harder. People say, boy, years ago, people used to pray in front of them, they'd get the liquor stores out of business. We just had one of them quit this week. Tell me God ain't still working. Did y'all see us on the news the other night on Channel 13? Lowe's food store down here, they said 500 people will sign a petition. We'll get beer and wine out of... Because even though deep down inside, you know, you don't like it, deep down inside there's something in you that wants to hear the truth. Anybody, man that good, man that decent, you ought to walk in there and say, buddy, I'm proud of you. His name is Mr. Huffman. Go in there and tell him, I'm proud of you, sir. You made a good testimony to Western North Carolina. We're hoping other stores will do this. God bless you. I will help support you. Well, there'll be a lot of people turned back during the 90s. There was in the 80s. A lot of them gave up. A lot of them quit serving God. You know what happens if you go back on God, don't you? You're in trouble. Like that one little boy's teacher taught him on Lot's wife. And she said Lot's wife looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. Little boy jumped up and said, that ain't nothing. My mom looked back and turned into a telephone pole. I don't know what'll happen to you if you turn back. But I hope you don't. I hope you don't. I hope you don't. As we embark on this new year coming up, It scares me. You know, I make big statements and all, but I'm not a person. I'm scared without God's blessings on my life and power. We'll never make it. I thought about what these little kids will have to see by the year 2000 if Jesus doesn't come. I believe He will, but if He don't. I'll tell you something this morning. There's a lot of people here that I know what you need to do. On this last day of this year, you need to get up here and don't make a New Year's resolution. It won't last till Wednesday. Get up here and say, God, if You'll help me, I'm going to get my act together. I want to stand for God. Stand for what's right. Let's stand by our head. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In just a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to come and make things right with God. As we've kind of just reflected back over the last 10 years, I just gave you the news report in the light of the Scripture. The Scripture said, wickedness shall wax worse and worse. According to the Bible, the world is not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Maybe there's a Christian here. We've already got several in the altar this morning. Maybe there's a Christian here this morning and God has put His finger on the sin in your life. And you don't want to start out 1990 with that sin in your life. And you want to just come this morning and say, all right, Lord, I'm going to get down to business this year. Just get out of your seat and come on. Now, I know I've been rough on you this morning. I've said some things that are mighty straight. But I've done it for one reason. Because I love you and I want to help you. Others are coming. Others are coming. Dear God in heaven, do something for us this morning. Have mercy on us, O God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you need to come, come on right now while we sing. Everybody knows it. Go ahead, brother.
All to Jesus I render. All to Him I
pray. Amen. You need to get right with the Lord. Come on this morning. Come on.
I will ever love and trust Him.
Amen.
In His presence daily.
All right, everybody sing.
I surrender all.
Help us now. Help us sing.
I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Look this way just a moment. I heard a report the other day where a woman had left her husband and she was living. And one of the things that women hardly ever think about in a situation like that is their kids. And she had a little girl about 2 years old. And while the mother was gone to the store, this man that she was living with started to molest this little girl. And of course he did, and he noticed that the little girl was hemorrhaging and bleeding. And when he realized he had hurt her real bad, he run the bathtub full of hot water. And he took that little girl and he put her in that bathtub. And he held her underwater till she was dead. Called that man in court and the judge got him up there and he said, how did you know she was dead? He said, when the bubbles stopped coming up and her feet stopped kicking, I knew she is dead. And that woman jumped up and screamed and said, he's a murderer. Take him to jail. Take him to the electric chair. Her attitude changed then. What I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, that's the society we're living in. We're living in a society that'll trick you. It comes on like, oh, so nice and so wonderful. But at last, it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. That's what sin will do to you. It seems oh so pleasant at first. But boy, it gets bitter and wicked. And there may be somebody here this morning. God has spoken to your heart. You know deep, deep down inside that if you don't get right with the Lord, that you're in for trouble. We're going to sing one more verse. I'd hate and be scared to go into the 90s without knowing where I stood with God. Would you come? Would you come right now? Come on right now while we sing. Come on.
All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow.
Amen.
Worldly pleasures.
Amen. Somebody else, come on right now. Come on.
Take me, Jesus, take me.
All right, ready?
I surrender all.
Yes.
I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior.
Amen. Sing another, brother. Sing another. We got some coming. Bang.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior.
Thank the Lord.
Thank
God. Yes.
Hey. Holy Spirit.
Sales need to come. Come on.
Amen.
All right, everybody. Ready?
I surrender all.
Our heads while these are praying. Scary time we live in. Scary. God help us. I need help. I need prayer. We all need help. God done something for you this morning. If the Lord's even dealt with you, it's a wonderful, blessed thing. Oh, dear God in heaven, Lord, bless these people on the altar and these that have been on the altar. Give them what they need, dear God, for Jesus' sake. Lord, we'll surrender all. Whatever you want to do with our lives, it's in your hands, dear God. Help us not to be stubborn. Help us to be willing and obedient and do your will. And Lord, if you don't come before tonight, help us as we go into 1990 to go in with a clear conscience, a determined heart, strong loins in our sword of the Spirit, and our helmet of salvation, our shield of faith, our gospel shoes. Be the soldier you'd have us to be. Bless these that's come this morning. Give them victory. In Jesus' name we pray.